The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Humph by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk, off my lady hump, my hump, my hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped, like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. I got a feeling we got a big show coming up. Lots to talk about. Later in the show, why is that music still playing? Later in the show, we've got Dante Hightower joining us, probably around 1:30, between 1 and 1:30, I'm told. So that'll be good. We haven't talked to him on this show since he was drafted.
Yeah, a little over a year ago. 13 months ago. Lots happened since then.
Good to catch up. Andy, you can ask him if he's going to make that year two jump.
I was planning on it.
Yeah. What else? We got some transactions that, you know, are making news. Kyle Love being let go, and, you know, it was revealed, I guess, by his agent that he has type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that wasn't part of the press release, obviously.
No, but he was released non-football injury.
Yeah. Okay.
So they used medical as an aspect of the release.
So then it must be that.
You're right.
And so we'll talk about that. There's, you know, some people that don't think that a team should, when a guy gets sick, release him, you know, because of the illness.
Is this a team or a charity? Is this a hospital we work at? I mean,
well, that will be the other side of the argument.
There's a medical facility or
right.
Patriot Place.
So we'll talk about that. People have cited other times where the Patriots have made concessions for people with illnesses, but
it's a stupid argument being made by ill-informed people.
We'll get into that.
What are you doing? Why are you drinking out of the side of your mouth?
Paul's here.
Have you been?
Yeah.
We know what Paul spent his days off doing.
Yeah.
Really?
I got dry.
Huh?
Why are you listening to him?
What did he do?
I have a cold sore.
You know how you get those.
He equates cold sores with
rhymes with plucking quick.
Yes.
Did you notice he's also drinking water, Andy?
Yeah, I already.
It's a first.
No, you can't blame it on me. I wasn't even here Tuesday.
It would be funny if he gets violently ill and starts like throwing up, sweating.
Well, in Paul's defense,
something like weird.
In Paul's defense, there's no soda in the fridge. I think he'd be drinking that if there
but
was.
But that's my point. I wasn't even here on Tuesday. Well, what happened to all the soda?
If Paul goes 24 hours without Diet Pepsi,
bugs
are crawling all over.
You should have seen
stuff.
How many times I stopped.
Goes through withdrawals.
You know how like all over D.C. there's, you know, just vendors, you know, hot, right. I just kept stopping for Diet Pepsis everywhere.
Right.
Should I order some, Paul? Or should
Why?
Not?
So I could have something to drink. I need it.
Something to drink.
Just what you
We're
said.
Go drink.
The exact reason you just said I was going through the shakes.
You don't have to lap up the reflecting pool.
No, I stopped a couple of times for diet.
Interesting pepsis. Tweet from Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, I saw it.
What's
you
that?
See that?
That picture was taken last week.
picture of Andy and Paul playing at the erstwhile CMGI Field.
Circa 2002.
Oh, is that when Steve's, you know, media? Was that the media football game?
Right. Paul and I look exactly the same. Haven't changed a bit in 11 years since.
Paul looks in relatively decent shape.
He was. now he's relatively obese.
I told you that picture was taken last week.
A lot of hair.
So what else do we have?
It's a lot darker. A
lot more hair and a lot less fat.
You know, well.
So he's the same, more or less.
Andy does have the exact same haircut that he has right now.
I'm telling you. This is the way I'm supposed to cut my hair.
And he's wearing a Richard Seymour jersey.
Yeah, I don't know why I got dubbed a lineman and Paul's got Brady's jersey on.
Oh, he was a quarterback in high school.
Yeah, not really. If he was going to wear a jersey, it should have been a Kafka.
A what?
That would have been surreal.
You don't even know who's on our roster. You don't even know who the third string quarterback
is.
Oh,
I thought it was a type of jersey. I'm thinking, what's a Kafka jersey?
Some ceremonial religious jersey.
Right. That's what I'm like. What? All right. So with the release of Dedrick and Love, where does that leave the Patriots?
On top of Brace and Pryor, right? Which came prior.
So we'll talk about all of that. And what else do we have? You guys have any other topics you want to throw out there before?
Rookies are starting to sign their contracts.
Yeah.
Drewron Harmon and Steve Beauharnais.
Yeah, there's something weird with the Beauharnais one.
Why?
Is it Beauharnais or
Beauharnais?
There's something weird with that because
really.
On Tuesday, a couple days ago, Ravens Insider, who generally tweets everything that comes across the wire,
Patriots-related before anybody around here does.
He clearly has access to the wire.
Yeah.
Tweeted out the exact details of Steve Beauharnais' contract.
Yeah.
Meaning it came across the wire. And yet the agent said, no, the deal has not been finalized. And well then why did it clearly, from my read, come across the wire?
Who was the agent? Do you remember?
I don't know, some guy.
Yeah, because
I wonder if it was a new guy that was very cognizant of the whole Patriots way of doing things, wanted to make sure that he wasn't targeted as having leaked any information
before
the Patriots.
Well, there's something to that, though, because our friend Chris Price is just tweeted his blog post, and the headline is, source, seventh-round pick Steve Beauharnais to sign contract Thursday.
Yeah,
meaning he implying that he hadn't yet.
So then I don't know how Ravens Insider had the exact details of the contract.
That's a good question. A
couple days ago. It's very weird. Strange.
Maybe he's not simply getting it from the wire.
Maybe.
Paul's guy, Jeff Howe, tweeting out numbers for the contract, too.
Yeah. Now, are they the same as the Ravens Insider tweeted 2 days ago?
I don't know. What were the
probably ones? Not. Jeff probably transposed someone typing them in.
Well, you know.
He confirmed him with a source, though.
Seventh round draft pick.
Yeah, it's irrelevant. Yeah. I mean, I just, it's one of those things.
Four-year deal, $2.2 million.
Unless he
signing bonus of almost $48,000.
Then it could be a no-year deal of $48,000.
Right.
Good money, though. But no, the story of the week is Kyle Love.
Yeah.
And the defensive line.
Defensive line and defensive tackles in general.
Yeah. And what they're doing. I know a lot of people were immediately, before the type 2 diabetes thing quite came, it was like the instant, now they're clearly going to the 3-4. And I was like, why?
I didn't get that. I saw some Brandon Dederick stuff with the 3-4, too. I didn't understand.
They're not suited for the 3-4. They don't have the personnel to go to the 3-4, in my opinion. I mean, you'd have not enough bodies to play the end spots, the 5 techniques, and you have too many bodies to play outside linebacker. You would essentially, either Ninkovich, Hightower, or Chandler Jones would be a backup, would be a sub player in all likelihood, because you have three guys that are outside linebackers.
Yeah.
Because there's no way Jones could play the 5 technique like Seymour. He would get absolutely swallowed up
just
by
not
tackles.
Big enough.
No.
No.
So the 3-4 to me is not an option, not a consideration.
No, all it says to me is that these undrafted guys or, you know, Tommy Kelly are going to stand a good chance of making this roster because they're going to have to.
Tommy Kelly's going to have to start and play basically what he's been doing in Oakland, play 16 games.
Yeah, Tommy Kelly's role to me would appear to have gotten bigger. Or Armstead is having in line for a bigger role than I think any of us
but
thought.
Even he, I mean,
he probably does have a bigger
more
role.
Of an end. I mean, he's a guy that could certainly play 3-4 end.
I definitely think
he's
him
sub
as an
300,
end.
And you know, he was the strong side end at USC. Now he's done both, but my interpretation of that is a lot of that is sub stuff, not being a pure defensive tackle. It's all very strange to me, the timing of it. Now the Kyle Love thing is clearly the diabetes, you know, within the last 2 weeks and the losing weight and everything.
Right.
But within the last 2 weeks, Brandon Dedrick was released. So you knew you were releasing or probably releasing Kyle Love when you released Brandon Dedrick. And yet whatever he did or didn't do, because there are now reports, you know, it was work ethic or something related, was so bad that you didn't care that you don't have anybody else?
Well, and that's the thing. I just think, you know, I have to conclude that, you know, one wasn't related to the other. You know, they felt they had to get rid of Dedrick.
We can't rely on him. It's the end of the road, whatever.
It doesn't matter that Kyle Love.
Yeah, bad timing just that they.
It's just,
but it's still four guys, four young guys that you seemingly had been developing as Will Fork's sidekick, to Robin, to Batman.
Two more draft picks.
Yeah, are just gone.
Right. So
Tommy Kelly better stay healthy. Yeah. Tommy.
So, I mean, I don't know if it's
or sign Seymour.
If it's a change in philosophy as it is just, you know, personnel and circumstance.
Right. But it's a little weird for that all. Like, I can argue Brace. Okay, just didn't work out. It was time to move on. He's useless. Myron Pryor, it seemed like the thing that held him back was injuries, right?
All the time.
Always hurt.
Always hurt. Always on
IR. But
that's
a guy I would keep around to at least battle. I mean, I guess unless you're just worried you don't want to have to pay another year of $500,000 for
money.
And the Dedrick thing, like, he's really he was so not a issue last year that he started the last five games of the season for you. And yet he's so bad now, so lazy or whatever the issue is that you have to get rid of. Just seems a little weird.
Well, why did he start the last five games of the season last year?
Because Love, had an issue,
right?
Potentially, so that played into it, which I definitely believe that played into it. But again, you have other bodies. Marcus Forston was on the practice squad. If you thought he was just a turd who had to go, how come he wasn't a turd who had to go in December, but he was in May?
Five months later, you've decided that the other option. What has changed in the 5 months? I guess to ask Andy's question,
right?
You know, like you said, you know, Dedrick was playing because of Love. I agree with you, Fred. I think Love had a knee injury that he was dealing with as the season progressed last year, and that's why Dedrick sort of leapfrogged him on the depth chart. We don't know that for sure, but that's I think that's where all signs indicate.
Because it would be even crazier if Belichick in December said, "You've passed up Kyle Love. You're better than Kyle Love. No injury. It's just you passed him." And then 4 to 5 months later said, "You're the laziest SOB. You got to go."
So the only thing,
come on, the guy was suspended
from
before.
But you know what has changed? They've signed Tommy Kelly, and I guess to a lesser extent, Armstead. Although I agree with Andy's characterization of Armstead, he's an end to me who could probably play inside in sub packages. But ideally, I think he's a 4-3 end. So that's what's changed. So maybe you
or
feel
their
better
philosophy
with Tommy
changed.
Kelly,
or now they're just going with athletes.
Well,
that's
the
other thing.
You know my theory. That's the way the game is going. No one wants to run the ball. You don't need these big 325-pound linemen. Listen, if you're special like Vince. And you have a different kind of athleticism for that size. Obviously, there's always going to be a place for
guys like that.
You'll
be the best player on the worst defense in the NFL
when
for 5 years.
When you're special,
that's what happens.
There'll be a spot for you. But I think that just having these seventh round, 330-pound guys, just because there's only so many players men on the planet that are that size, I don't think you need those guys anymore. And I think that
would fall in line with not drafting one. Because if you saw these things coming, why wouldn't you at least take a flyer on somebody?
And
they do
didn't.
Have the undrafted guys.
And it was one of the first times that we can recall the last couple of years they haven't really taken these big defensive linemen. That was a staple
for them. Philosophical shift. We're going speed up front. We're just going athletes.
And I don't know anything. Woo! I'm catching up on the Love situation. I don't know anything about the diabetes and only what you guys have told me this morning. To me, the time of the year is a little bit strange to me with Dedrick, and more so Dedrick than Love. Because if Love, I know that you guys told me it was a NFI situation.
Right.
So that tells me that diabetes played a role.
The primary
Dedrick,
role.
They didn't have to get rid of Dedrick. They don't gain anything from doing it today as opposed to, as Andy said, Myron Pryor and Brandon Dedrick, why not let them fight it out and wins, but maybe they were afraid.
They had it up to here with him, obviously.
And they just didn't want any part of either one of those guys.
You know, and a lot of people, rightly so, say, well, there's millions of people with type 2 diabetes that live normal lives. But the type 2 diabetes has to be managed.
Right.
And one of the ways you get diabetes is being overweight.
Right, being
and
a fat slob.
And being overweight is required of the job. It's going to be hard to manage.
That's why I thought there were so many useless tweets and reports. Jay Cutler has diabetes, and this guy has, Morrison. Well, excuse me, does their job require them to be 335 pounds?
Right.
And did they probably get diabetes because they were 335
right.
pounds?
It's the exact opposite.
Right.
He was born with it.
Now, the agent is selling that he is going to be at playing weight and in camp for somebody. And
the
all
agent
that.
Said something about he already put 10 of those pounds back on.
And good.
But
so
that,
sure that's
to me, is that doesn't sound healthy
no.
either.
And, we mentioned Vince Wilfork's name. Both of his parents died of diabetes, no?
Type 1 or 2?
I don't know exactly. But he is certainly, given his family history, is a candidate, and especially for his size.
This is going to be a shaker.
He talked about this like 5 years ago. How
he talks about it every year because he has the
money. But I mean, now
really watching what
the guy next to him got it.
And the whole thing, he's, you know, he realizes the history that he has.
He's really lucky.
And he might be praying right now that I just get through my career. And then once I'm done, I can lose the weight. And
well, here's a question.
Praying he
here's
doesn't a, get it until then.
Here's a question. You know, hypothetical question, obviously, and we hope it doesn't come to pass. But if this were Vince Wilfork who had been diagnosed and not Kyle Love, would the same move have been made yesterday?
I think it's a valid question, but you'd have to say that I'm sure the Patriots.
You really think yes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think the Patriots talked to their doctors and said, look. What's the outlook for someone who we need to be 320 pounds plus, who just got type 2 diabetes, being able to do? And I'm sure the doctor said it's not going to happen.
I bet there was a lawyer.
And
in the room
I can't
too.
See that being any different for Vince Wilfork.
I have a really hard time. Maybe it's maybe I'm just jaded, but I have a hard time believing that they would have cut Vince Wilfork straight away. If they had gotten the same diagnosis,
I need a little more information. If in fact that what we're supposing is accurate, they just felt like Kyle Love cannot play defensive tackle with this physical condition, and that's why they released him. If the same would be true for Vince Wilfork, I think I agree with Andy. I think they would have said we can't keep him. The only difference would be cap ramifications, and I don't know what they would be able to do. It might not have been, I don't know what the contract looks like. It might not have been in their best interests to just cut him. They might have had to keep him on a list something like that. But in terms of playing, if they deemed that he would not be able to play, I think they would have done the same thing.
But Eric kind of brings up a good kind of question.
It is.
Would
it
they
is
be so
question.
Sudden about it because of his tenure here and what he's done with the team and all? Would they just cut him like that, or would there be sore?
To me, it would all depend on the contract.
Yeah.
And if it was okay with that, they would have worked with him. Obviously, I don't think this was a cold thing. I don't think that the team would do that. I don't think it would be just a cold. I mean, it's one thing to just say, okay, this guy has been arrested several times and is embarrassing the organization. Right. Yeah, we got to cut ties with him. This is different. And I don't think the team would just
I asked that too because the agent said in the statement, I'm quoting here. Prior to the diagnosis, Kyle recently experienced unexplained weight loss, but since being diagnosed and having altered his diet, has regained most of the weight he lost, is in good health, and was not limited in any way during off-season workouts in which he engaged up until being told he would be released. If he was suffering from the diabetes but still able to do all these things in the off-season program, the only noticeable difference in him would have been the weight loss.
Right.
So then they find out he has diabetes, and then they say, okay, because of the weight loss and the diabetes, you're out?
No.
Well, I think because of the whole thing.
Yeah, because of the whole thing. Because the weight loss was caused from
having the
diabetes.
Right.
Okay, so he puts the weight back on, which from a football standpoint is good.
But from a health standpoint overall, might not be.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's a medical/legal issue. And we talked upstairs, and I said, I think there's a chance that if you keep him, and he does his damnedest to remain 325 pounds, and something bad happens, you could now be negligent in some lawsuit.
Right.
Like, you forced him to be 320 to do his job. Doing that killed him. Mm. You are on the hook of some lawsuit from his family if he dies.
For all we know, we don't know, but there could have been a conversation between the Patriots and Love and his agent saying, look, Kyle, we understand you. You think you can do this, but you can't.
We don't think you should play.
We don't think
you
should.
Now, you can find a doctor that'll say anything.
Right.
We learned that in the Reggie Lewis, you know.
Right.
You go 13 specialists deep, the 13th one might
tell you
play.
What you want to hear.
That doesn't mean it's right. I mean, Jarvis Jones couldn't play at USC, goes to Georgia, gets cleared, and he's been fine since. You can find a doctor to tell you can play, and it may even work out. He may go play somewhere and be fine, but I just think you have a medical staff and a legal department that I'm guessing weighed in and said, no, for us, that's not what
we want
to do.
And that's kind of the way that Fred described it is the way I envision the conversation. I think that the crafts were probably involved with Bill and you know, probably Nick Caserio, you know, yeah. the whole Dr. organization, Gil. The doctors, and they're talking, they're having a conversation with Kyle. Somebody. It's not just like, hey, Kyle, we're letting you go. I don't think it went down like that. Now, maybe I'm being naive. Like, you know, Eric said that maybe he's being jaded.
Well, this story just came out at 12:11, so 10 minutes ago. This is on Andy's site, Pro Football Talk.
Oh, so it's garbage and it was taken from some other site.
He says, it's becoming more clear that the New England Patriots cut defensive lineman Kyle Love for one reason, the diabetes. And while Love could, in theory, pursue legal claims against the team under the ADA or the Massachusetts equivalent, agent Richard Kopelman tells PFT that Love's current focus is on getting healthy, blah, blah, blah. But then he says what the Patriots told him. What his most recent team did, per Kopelman, was offer Love two alternatives, retire for a year or be released. Though the Pats were willing to waive any ability to recover a portion of his signing bonus if he opted to retire, Love wants to play football. And so the choice became easy. He picked a path that gives him a chance to play. Quote, we have every reason to believe Kyle is going to be well enough to play this year, Kopelman said. We'd rather be in a position of having a chance to play this year versus not having a chance to play this year. So, you know, and he goes on. And, you know, I haven't read this before, so I don't want to, you know, get into the whole thing. But it seems like the Patriots gave him an option. Retire right. for a year, see how things go, and then we can talk about it. But they didn't want to do that. So,
and that's why I said the thing about Wilforth. The one thing that might be different would be contractual. They may not have been able to just make it neat and clean and say retire for a year or come back or whatever with Vince, but I think they would have treated it largely the same. Now, I think it would have been more of a, you know, pomp and circumstance behind it with a guy like Vince who's important to the organization and done so many wonderful things.
Or maybe they automatically put him on a list.
Yeah, you know.
To keep him on the shelf for a year.
I just think
see how it goes.
It's a medical
At his stage, he probably wouldn't have said, no, I got to go and play somewhere else. Right, he probably would have said, I've had a good run. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to take care of myself.
A lot of money in the bank.
So Florio goes on to criticize the Patriots. He says, while Kopelman has managed to take the high road, someone needs to point out that the Patriots are joyriding on the low one, jettisoning an employee who has a disease simply because the team fears that the disease could affect future performance is wrongheaded, unfair, and ultimately illegal. It sends a bad message to mid-level managers and other industries who spend more time on the sports pages than the business section. Just seems wrong. One of my family members who has been living with diabetes for years said in an unsolicited text message that buzzed through while I was typing this. It upsets me and confuses me. Makes me wonder what other kind of discrimination is out there for someone like me. That's a fair concern.
So stupid.
People with diabetes lead normal lives, and so at a time when the...
You know who doesn't lead a normal life? A nose tackle in the NFL.
And so at a time when the...
Every time you read something from this moron, it's dumber than the last thing he wrote.
And so at a time when the biggest talking point in the NFL relates to whether a team will accept a gay player, how can any NFL team in good conscience jettison a player due to a medical condition that has no relevance to his ability to perform his job? Well, there it's where he's wrong.
Right. That's definitely.
Even if Love never takes action, someone should.
He is seriously intimating that the Patriots cut this guy
for
discriminatory
reasons.
Just because he has diabetes.
Right. Ew, he has diabetes. Get rid of him.
And they think it won't affect his performance at all.
He's a bleeping moron.
That's what he just wrote. It won't affect his job.
Has nothing to do with his...
Or his health.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a catch-22. He's either going to stay a big, fat, productive defensive lineman, and his health is going to be hurt by it, or he's going to work on his health, and his career is going to be hurt by it. Right. I don't see how you can do both. Well, now, I'm not a medical expert, but knowledge of diabetes is that.
His point is you don't know, and so you can't cut a guy for what you think could happen.
No, but if you force him... The job requirement is you must weigh 320-plus pounds. If you force him to do that, to me, you're taking a step down a road that I don't even want to tiptoe down. I'm forcing him to do something that could kill him or could be very much adverse to his health.
Yeah.
I don't want to go down that road. I don't think that's a good road to go down. I think it's a great business decision. I think it's unfortunate for him. I like Kyle Love. I think he's a really good guy. I think he's making a bad decision as well.
Well,
I think he's making a bad decision to say, no, I'm playing
and
right
it's not,
now.
And it
and
sounds
it really
like
it gets down to the requirements of this specific job
correct,
in the NFL.
Which is why it's not related to any mid-manager.
Tom Brady, who can keep himself in
Jay
peak,
Cutler.
Or Jay Cutler.
It's totally
who
different.
Who actually does have, who can, you know,
which,
conceivably keep himself trim and
right,
fit.
Right. Which I don't think Florio is taking into account here. the reported offer that the Patriots gave Love that he turned down, saying he wants to play right away. Because if you read the clearly and in between the lines of the statement that the agent released, he wasn't really taking shots at the Patriots. He said, obviously we're disappointed it didn't work out with the Patriots, but he's not blaming the Patriots for cutting him. What he was doing was saying, by saying that Kyle's gaining the weight, he's going to be ready for training camp, I think he's trying to tell all 31 other teams.
Sure. There's a difference of opinion.
Right. My client is available to play football. But it doesn't sound like he's blaming New England for cutting him.
And if they offered for him to retire a year, the for a year part entails there's a chance you can come back after a year.
Exactly.
I mean, that is a way for him to
deal
with his
health.
Let's see
how it goes. Let's see how it goes.
I mean, it's arm in armstead like. He had a year away from the Patriots. The Patriots could have signed him. Well, you know my thing. I'm not sure the league would have let him sign him last year. But Armin Armstead had a year to prove he was healthy and fine and could do what he needed to do. He did that in Canada. The Patriots signed him. Patriots wanted to do that clearly with Kyle Love, if this report is accurate. Right. Take a year, you know, work with your diet, your health, your doctors. And, you know, if you are a healthy 320 mm-hmm. next, okay, we can revisit this. Now, I have a problem with that. You said earlier, there's got to be a way for him to be a good 320. No, he's 6'1".
Well, that's
there's no good 320 for him. Yeah. If he were 6'8", okay, you might be able to sell me on he could have good weight and still be heavy. He can't be 320. Right. I mean,
and that's the part that the line.
I mean, you remember the pictures?
The line.
With the stuff hanging out of his jersey? That's not good weight.
Yeah. The line in Florio about leading normal, productive lives, and then Andy saying NFL nose tackles are not normal people. It's not a normal life.
And to compare it, like to bring gay into it and all, I mean.
It's nothing to do with it.
He is such an idiot.
Pat Patriot writes, how pathetic is it of Mike Florio to chime in immediately on Kyle Love tweeting that the Patriots' decision to cut Love looks like a disability discrimination? The same fraud has not made a peep about Drew Rosenhaus helping rip off $43.6 million from 18 of his clients. Would this have anything to do with Rosenhaus bankrolling the original Pro Football Talk website?
That's true.
I guess thebiglead.com has this big story, potentially big story.
Florio's a bigger fraud sellout than I even knew.
I don't know about that.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah. I mean, that's just...
wait, you don't think he's a sellout?
No, I don't know about that whole Rosenhaus story.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about the Rosenhaus story either, but he clearly sold out. He used to rip everybody, and now all of a sudden everything the NFL does is...
Brian in Essex, Vermont says, you guys realize that Florio just equated a disease to being a homosexual, right? You know how many politicians have been destroyed in the press because of statements like that?
That's a good point. That's a very good point. So. He is just... So you shouldn't have a baby during the season, but we have to keep you if you have diabetes. Like, what is he talking about? Like, what? I mean, he's an intelligent man, right? Look, he went to law school. He was a lawyer. He's not just some hack
dumbass.
The whole
NBA stuff, I think, can be it can be tricky to deal with and define, and I understand that. And listen, I'm sure that there have been lawsuits for less egregious violations than this. But to just blanket take rocket shots at the team without knowing what's going on, and it's another one of these examples where everybody seems like it's something they should be upset about. Damn it, we fight hard for our rights. And Kyle Love is fine. And Kyle Love's representatives are fine.
Basically saying we'll move on.
Nothing but class in this statement. And he's going to try to play.
See, the whole ADA...
Why do you have to be so upset about something that's not bothering the person who's affected by it?
And I remember when the ADA got signed. I think it was the first George Bush signed it. And the spirit of the whole thing was... reasonable accommodation,
right?
That, you know, whether it's building a ramp for someone in a wheelchair or the reasonable accommodation. But, you know, you can make the argument, and probably the doctor, it's not going to be reasonable to have this guy do what he needs to do to battle his diabetes and still be a nose tackle in the NFL.
Or vice versa. It's not reasonable for me to put a 260-pound nose tackle on the field. Mm-hmm. Allow him to get healthy, and in doing so, say he has to lose weight. I can't be forced to put, you know, we talked about it upstairs. What if a receiver, what if Wes Welker woke up today blind? Something happened, you know, some freak thing overnight, and he woke up blind. Do the Broncos have to keep him? He can't do his job. Do they have to make concessions for a blind receiver? I mean, do they have to put a string on the ball? Or I mean, I don't even know.
No, but
that's the same thing.
There's a million different examples that you could do. Fred, I mean, What's to stop some person in regular walk of life? Maybe he's a high school dropout and he goes to try to be a CEO of a company. And I go, well, geez, you're not qualified. You don't have, you know, well, it's because I had a learning disability.
Right.
I mean, that's
you didn't make a concession for
understanding
me to be a CEO.
That's the theater of the absurd, and I'm taking it to that level on purpose.
Yep.
That's why it's a slippery slope that you go down, and
it's undefined. It's not the reasonable, like Ryan Clark has that thing. He doesn't play in Denver.
Sickle cell.
If they cut him and said it's because he can't play in Denver, I'd go, well, really, how often do you play in Denver?
Right.
But they allow him to not play in Denver.
And Denver could say that.
Denver could cut him. He can't play home games.
I can't sign this guy.
But there's two different things there. One is reasonable. The Steelers say when we play in Denver, he can't play. But we still employ him. We've made a reasonable concession. He won't play those games. But if he couldn't play in Pittsburgh, then they should cut him because he can't do the job that's required.
Exactly.
There's reasonable and there's unreasonable.
Or we can't hire him to begin with.
Right.
Right.
And an argument can be made that if you put a 260-pound nose tackle out there, you're risking more injury to him, but because you're going up against guys who are much
can't do the job,
and now you're putting your linebackers at risk.
Right, and Brandon Spikes goes, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! I didn't sign up for this."
But yeah, and again, this is all under the assumption that we feel like that's the way the Patriots have gone about this. They don't feel like he can do his job, and it's not safe, not only for his job but for him. For love himself, I think that there's a reasonable assumption there that
especially the way the agent
it can't be a healthy thing for him.
Especially the way the agent worded the statement, it's clear that that was the main, if not the only, reason why he's gone.
So that I thought that was interesting. And yesterday, just seeing that, not really knowing all the details, and having you guys fill me in this morning, that was interesting.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Real quick, Freddie.
Yeah.
Logan Ryan now makes three draft picks who reportedly have signed, according to his agent. So all three Rutgers picks have been
the package
inked,
deal.
Supposedly.
I did find it funny that Harmon was the first one because you know he was the second.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want them to change their mind.
Right.
And I tweeted out
dogs live.
Second straight year on May 15th that the safety signed as the first draft pick to sign.
Trayvon
it was Wilson.
Was the first
and
one.
Everybody goes, yeah, because those two didn't know where they were going to get drafted. They were willing to take anything they offered.
Right.
Like,
oh, there is something to be said about that. Chris with a TIAN is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Christian.
Oh, it's good. We got all the Ruckus players under contract. Nothing wrong with that at all. Get those guys in there. Harmon should have been at their front door the minute he was drafted. Can I sign?
Shane Vereen was
I brought my own pen.
I mean, Shane Vereen on the show Tuesday told us that McCourty had his Rutgers jersey hanging in his locker and everything.
Yeah, so. The great. Rutgers takeover.
Yeah, great. Yeah, it's phenomenal. This diabetes thing kind of hits close to home for me because I lost my father to diabetes almost 4 years ago to complications. And he had to live his life without being an NFL athlete.
Right.
And maintaining a weight. So I can't imagine how he could possibly play and maintain a healthy weight. Like you said, 6'1", 320, 330 isn't a healthy weight.
Right.
And the biggest danger for a diabetic is a fatty liver. And you get a fatty liver by having a huge gut. And those tackles need big guts.
Yeah. Right.
So that's really what it comes down to. I mean, could there be more as far as, you know, his performance and stuff like that? Maybe, but that Eric brings up a great point about if this was Wolfork, if it was deemed that he couldn't play with his condition, would they have, you know,
what about if the player would say, oh, I'm an athlete, I'll be 260, make me a linebacker? You know?
Don't know.
You really think Kyle Love could play linebacker?
I don't know.
He couldn't.
But maybe that's why they ask him to take a year off.
Yeah, I mean, in this particular case, I don't think it's relevant, but I think it adds another interesting layer.
Right.
What if?
It is interesting. And I had a question about Brandon Spike. He's completely just vanished from the social media world.
Good.
And the last tweet he made was transformation. And that was it.
When was that?
February.
February 28th or something like that?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Maybe he's matured.
Has there been any word about him?
If we could just get Mike Giardi to stop tweeting.
No, I mean, he may have been, you could say that the team said something and maybe he had his exit interview with Bill Belichick and part of it was put the phone down. Or maybe he just realized, you know what? I don't really get anything positive out of this Twitter thing. I get a lot of flack and a lot of negative. What's the point? Like, couldn't he have learned that and just said, what's the point? What's it worth? It's not really doing anything for me. You know, we'll see. Who knows?
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, if I was him, I'd be like, ooh, my status here is in jeopardy.
Contract year?
Yeah.
Contract year, try to do everything the right way for a guy who seemingly every year has had something happen the wrong way and not really work out.
Absolutely.
You know, looking to either stay or show other teams that he's a better commodity, more mature, whatever. Yeah, it's a smart move by him if it was his doing.
Sure.
Oh, that'll be great. He'll have his best season, and we won't sign him. Awesome. one thing. I owe you guys a lunch.
Oh, that's
whatever you guys want to put it in. Because I said for the draft I was supposed to get you one.
Come
up with a wager, but I didn't. All right.
No. Worry about it. We'll take it
for Tuesday.
We'll pencil you in for next week.
All right.
Thanks,
Dr. Christian. Kevin.
Could you have your adult star friend deliver that lunch?
Oh.
We can't have
it. Now you're going to be alienating more.
Can we get boobs in a box?
It's
a pizza box, and she opens it, and there are boobs in there.
Boobs in a box.
Barry's in Iowa on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Barry.
Hey, fellas. How's it going this morning?
Good.
This afternoon. You guys should be aware that the diabetes issue with Kyle Love is covered under the EEOC, and the Patriots had a federal obligation to provide a reasonable accommodation for Kyle to still be on the roster, even if he's placed on a reserve list. I think the Patriots are going to have an issue here.
Well, according to the report, they gave him that option, and he declined it.
He did.
Yes.
Well, they gave him the option, according to the report, to retire while keeping his signing bonus money.
Right.
For a year,
a one-year retirement.
And then they would, address it down the line, or be released immediately, and he chose to be released immediately so he could try to play this year.
But what do you think the concession would be? Where's the concession that is a realistic, reasonable concession?
Well, there's got to be. Well, the NFI reserve list was still an available option to Kyle while he was medically treating his type 2 diabetes. Would that be correct?
Yeah, and he declined it according to the report.
Yeah.
And he did decline it?
Yeah. According to the report. That doesn't mean that's accurate. Somebody reported that.
NFI, you do not get paid if the team chooses not to pay you. So, yes, he could have remained on a list and unpaid. He clearly wanted to play football, so the Patriots released him, based on what the agent is saying.
Right. Okay. And I don't know that to be 100% factual. Again, I just want to stress that was a report that Fred read off of Pro Football,
the least reliable source on the internet.
All right, let me ask you guys one other question. Since I may not be aware of this, but when I read Florio's story, the one hole in this whole story is, when was Kyle Love diagnosed with type 2 diabetes?
Within the last couple of weeks.
Yeah,
the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
Wow, that's awfully quick. That's awfully quick. All right, I just thought it would be worth noting that if he was really recently diagnosed in the last 2 weeks and this kind of decision was made, did anybody have the time to actually plot out a medical course for Kyle?
Well, yeah. I mean, type 2 diabetes is not a rare disease.
No, I know.
You know, I think that could be done fairly quickly.
And it can be cured, right? Like, you can not have it anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a very good friend of mine that actually has type 2 diabetes. And after dealing with it for, close to a decade, he finally reverted his diet and started running more. And sure enough, his health has just been dramatically improved.
Right. Unfortunately, he's also not an NFL nose tackle who needs to weigh
320
pounds to do his job.
Right.
So that's where the problem, you know, what is a reasonable concession for a guy in a job whose certain parameters tend to lead to an unhealthy lifestyle? You know, it's not a normal world. It's not a normal job. It's not a normal situation.
True. And it's been reported that he's also gained back 15 to 20 pounds in the last 2 weeks as well.
Yes.
Really?
That is also a reason why I believe the Patriots would act quickly, because I think had they been part of him adding that weight back on and trying to maintain 320 pounds, to me, then you put yourself at risk of a lawsuit down the road. If something tragic happens. Yeah, if he dies and then the family goes, well, you forced him to be 320 with diabetes.
Right.
You knew he had diabetes and you forced him to be 320. to me, that's a wrongful death type lawsuit. So I think that could have been part of it. That's why I say when this meeting took place, which I'm sure happened, Belichick, Kraft, I have to think both legal and medical were in the room.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that, especially when it comes to a potential EEOC claim.
Right.
And the fact when you're talking about training camp, you know, I can only think about the player from the Vikings that passed away because of overexertness during the, you know, during, you know.
Training camp. Yep.
Yeah.
Corey Stringer.
You know,
Corey Stringer.
You're treading on a thin line. If Love was indeed offered a reasonable accommodation and he turned it down, then what is his agent talking about then?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I really don't. Now, I also, does the NFL fall under all these laws? Because there's a lot of laws they don't fall under. So my question is,
this is one of them,
why doesn't a guy who have a sprained ankle who gets put on IR or later cut, why doesn't he have to have a reasonable concession?
I was going
to
throw
that
out.
Well, that's not.
No, I know, but there are a lot of things that are different in the NFL that don't.
Mr. Goodell has been stressing state safety for the last few years, at the very least.
Right.
There's a reason for that, because I think that EEOC claims are still covered under the CBA.
Okay. Because that's the other question I would have is how all that works, because they get away with a lot of stuff that a lot of businesses couldn't get away with.
Thanks, Barry.
Right. Yeah, thanks, fellas.
Okay. Thank you, Barry.
Good questions by Barry.
Yeah.
Let me ask, I actually don't, worst case scenario when you have type 2 diabetes, what happens?
Worst case, you die.
No, but I mean how, like how does
my
it unfold?
My dog just got diabetes, poor little thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We were just actually, are you going to treat it?
Well, I'll tell you. Story.
Wow, this is crazy. Yesterday, somebody in the office told me their cat has it, and they have to give it insulin every 12 hours on the 12
hours. I have to give it twice a day with food, insulin shots.
How much is that setting you back?
This is about, listen, you want, I'll tell you the story. Little Rocky, it's a pug. He got diagnosed probably about 3 months ago. So we've been, you know, giving him the insulin. You know, you give him a shot with food twice a day, and he's been doing good. His blood sugar was like up to 800. It's back down to 180. So,
and is it because he's fat? I mean, is it similar?
He was over, but no. See, he also had a skin condition, which we were giving him the steroid, and that probably didn't help. You know, so it's one of those things. He's over 10 years old now. So anyway, so we got it back down to 180, and things were good. You know, he had lost weight because of the diabetes, but he looked in really good shape. So we had this lacrosse party on Thursday night with 30 lacrosse boys there, pasta dinner, and just didn't think about, well, the dog has diabetes now. We probably shouldn't be eating the scraps and everything. And there was pasta and brownies and cookies, and apparently he got into it. The next day, I mean, he just threw up everywhere to the point where he could barely stand up. He was so dehydrated. So we took him to the Tufts veterinary. You know, they had to keep him in for the whole weekend and get him back. Cost me a couple grand.
Oh.
Yeah, but, you know, he's back home now, and he's doing well now. He's on some medication. He's actually doing great now. But he could have died.
Right.
He could have died if we hadn't been home, let's say, Friday when he started throwing up and having the reaction and everything, because his blood sugar would just spike like crazy. It was probably going all over the place because of all the food he ate.
And that's part of what I was wondering, just in terms of, say, he, you know, Love's here and they start OTAs and he has a big meal and then he has a big practice. Like,
right.
Are there places in there?
We know the training camp, how crazy it is for these guys. Well, half, even the big guys are fighting to keep the weight on because of all the, you know.
And it messes with your system, your blood sugar and all that. And I can't see how it would be healthy for him to try to maintain what he would need to maintain to do his job. I think that's unreasonable.
Scott says about EEOC, wasn't the problem with Brandon Lloyd that after he caught the ball, he lost the use of his legs? I don't know if that would fall under.
That was well done.
Congratulations to Patriots PFW in Progress listeners for turning the page quickly and immediately making light of it. I like it.
A little listener on listener crime. Brian says, don't listen to guys from Iowa. It stands for idiots out wandering around.
Wow. Wait, is that the guy that always feuds with? We had a couple Waterloo, Iowa feuds, right?
Yeah, but this was a different guy, Barry.
idiots out wandering.
Let's go back to the phone. Brian's in Brighton, Mass. Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
I'm always touchy when we get on topics such as this.
but I'm a little concerned in how aggressive, especially Andy, you are in that this is just completely appropriate in the way the Patriots act.
Okay, so but before Andy answers that, how do you think the Patriots acted here? Because now we, if this report is true, they did give Love an option.
And we don't know. We have this report.
Right.
We don't know. But let's, I mean, from the, based upon the report, the option was retire for a year.
And keep your signing bonus.
And keep your signing bonus.
Okay, but...
Of which you haven't played a single down
Andy,
to earn.
Would you be willing, in your case, if you were young like him, an athlete that only has, you know, I mean, at best you're going to 30. Would you sacrifice a year's salary?
Yes, I would. To save my life, yes, I certainly would. I think he's risking his life.
I don't know if I would, right? I mean...
Well, I certainly would.
If you could make... Now, Kyle Love is Kyle Love. But let's say you're Vince Wilfork. And you're telling me that I can risk my health, my long-term life, but I can make $5, $10 million a year?
Well, Kyle Love wasn't making $5 or $10 million this year.
Yeah, to me, it's the opposite. If it's Vince Wilfork, it wouldn't even be a consideration.
I have my money. I'm done.
He's got money, and he could retire. Kyle Love, to me, I think, Brian, your argument, I think, is stronger for Kyle Love, Brian, because I'm looking at it, it's like he hasn't made a ton of money. He certainly hasn't made enough money to retire on, and he might be looking at that and saying, yeah, I can't really afford to take a year off in the middle of my career and get paid not having any guarantees. I got to roll the dice, and there's risk involved. I wouldn't do it. I think that, you know, the steroid stuff and all the other stuff I think is similar. I wouldn't play around with it. My health would be my biggest concern. I know he just had a baby, and there's things that are more important.
You got to be more mature and just think about, I'm a football player. I play football. Oh, oh, oh.
But, no. But I understand your point, Brian. I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, but don't trivialize that, Andy, because these guys, their careers end when they're like 30 years old.
Yeah, but you know what? Their life doesn't end. I'm sick of pretending it's not possible to earn money off the field. I'm sick of pretending that their earning potential ends. There are plenty of billions of people on this planet who make a living every day who don't play football. Billions.
Yeah, but they weren't bred to be 300-pound beasts.
He wasn't bred to be that. He has chosen a life where he decided he was going to live that life. His mother did not do anything when he was in the womb to make sure he came out as an NFL nose tackle.
He was a pit bull.
This is not nature over nurture. He nurtured himself into becoming a nose tackle. He decided, yeah, I'm pretty big. I've grown into, I got a big frame. I like hitting people.
Do you
think he dies? He just go out to pasture and shoot him when he leaves the NFL field?
I think you're kind of screwed.
Oh, I think that is so, first of all, disrespectful to all these players. Yes, some of them are maybe complete morons who could not earn anything any other way. I don't think Kyle Love's one of those. I kind of like Kyle Love. And at the bare minimum, you tell me he couldn't go stand at a bar as a bouncer and flex that chest? He's a very imposing figure. No one would screw with him. So he can make money.
How much?
Oh, wait. Are now we saying it's just about money? So the child he had and the wife and the mother and the cousins, this isn't about living life? Do you really believe this, or are you just trying to make an argument?
No, I'm playing a little bit of devil's advocate.
Okay, that's
fine. I really do honestly believe this, though, in that, like, what is a bouncer making a year?
Who cares?
Wait, well, why are you assuming that that's all he can do?
But, right, but I'm saying bare minimum.
No, not you, I'm saying,
Brian, let's just say for argument's sake, a bouncer doesn't make much. There's a lot of people that are bouncers
right.
in this world.
And you know
that's all they do.
Sometimes they're bouncers and they coach high school football. So now they have two forms of income or three. I'm not saying he's going to go make $385,000.
He's got about $1 million.
Right.
As a head start.
$385,000 this year.
Yeah, you know what?
Right?
Yeah, and then he's dead. And then he's dead at the end of the year. Then
right.
what?
And then he has a kid that has no father and no income.
Okay. But I'm just pointing out that that's not as great. I don't think that that's an obvious choice.
For who?
For someone.
Well, I think Brian, I see where you're coming from. These guys, their mentality is, I have a short life in football, and I need to maximize my revenue potential. And they also love.
But you'll have a
but
short
time out. You'll have a short
you'll
life
have a
on
short,
the planet.
You'll have a short life. Period.
But
you want to use the phrase
right,
"short life"?
Right,
you'll be dead.
But you didn't let me finish. But then you get into the case of where you know, you're talking about a disease. You know, you're not talking about a guy who got his bell rung, you know.
I'm talking more about the double standards that go on with professional sports, that let's not just completely skirt over that. The fact that taxes can pay for stadiums, even though these guys make millions. Okay, the guy has a disease, but your option potentially, based on the report, was, oh, just take a year off. We won't pay you your salary. Take a year off. That's not just reasonable.
That's life. No, if I can't do my job, Fred is not going to say, you know what, I'm going to keep paying you even though you're not doing your job.
We haven't even talked about the fact that this guy... Wait a minute. Brian, Brian, we haven't talked about the fact that it's in most likely Kyle Love has insurance just like we do.
Mm-hmm.
So he has disability insurance that he probably will be paid a certain percentage, you know, could be 70, 75% of his salary in addition to his signing bonus from his insurance policy. And that's what you have insurance for.
But we're defending the Patriots a little too much.
Well, why not?
Wait, do you think I'm usually the homer who defends the Patriots at all costs? Because I don't think
that's not a surprise.
That's because it's the truth. I am objective, and when it's right, I'm right, and it's right.
It's further proof that Andy, Eric, and I cannot do any. We can't
Andy,
do.
If you were to go blind, would that not affect your job?
Yeah, I would lose my job.
You think that's cool that Fred would have to...
Life is not always fair.
But in Andy's job, I could probably make a reasonable accommodation to someone who was sight impaired.
I'm not sure you could. I don't watch games. How do I talk about
the
team?
You can't analyze the games.
Well, how could I say Sean Crable has the skinniest legs I've ever seen if I can't see Sean Crable's legs?
We could probably figure something out by listening.
I mean, there's a job he could probably do in the organization,
exactly,
but it wouldn't be that job that he has now.
Exactly. Right. And I'm sure Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft would have said, Kyle, you want to work for Team Ops at the game?
No,
you'll be a big, imposing Team Ops guy. It only pays $9 an hour.
But the accommodation has to be reasonable.
No, no.
You know?
We're strictly debating the report.
Which, again, is from a very unreliable source.
I agree.
He does quote.
Yeah, but he often goes back and changes quotes and words and stuff.
Yeah, but it does sound reasonable the way it is. I mean, let's be real. Like, Kyle Love is not out there screaming he got screwed over.
Right.
Like,
well, but that, I think, is your first point. He's just focused on playing. No, but he's just focused on playing, and he knows, I don't want to cause more controversy. I just want to be released. He's probably assuming he's going to get claimed.
It's not his interest to be blackballed by the NFL. That's not it's exactly his point.
Right. It's the opposite.
He doesn't want to have to lose a year's worth of salary.
No question. On that, we agree.
You don't know if you're going to get another contract.
Correct.
So he just needs to get out there and be like, oh, I can play.
But that doesn't mean the team has to let him get out there.
Now,
you know,
Brian.
Armin Armstead just wanted to get out there for USC and for the NFL, and it didn't happen last year. He had to go to the CFL because there was concerns about his heart.
Now, can I ask a question? Would the other 31 teams then be guilty as well if no one signs them?
No. Well,
they don't have to hire
him? In a way. It's a little different. But...
The guy started like 25 games the last 2 years. You tell me he shouldn't have a job in the NFL.
Wouldn't the more callous thing by the Patriots?
Teams would be just as guilty because that, in the same way that if I went to interview over there at PFW for a job as a writer, then.
Do you want to? Because we can get rid of Eric.
It would be irrelevant. Fred cannot check that I have a condition like that.
Right. But wouldn't it
But can't Fred ask you, can you do the job that I need you to do? Isn't that how it goes in interviews?
Yeah, are you able to?
Are you able to do the job that I need you to do?
Well, my answer is yes, I can do it next year.
Then fine.
Okay, but then when you die on the job, Fred had no knowledge that you had diabetes, and he didn't force you to maintain your weight despite knowledge of diabetes.
The
Patriots know he has diabetes. So
conversely, if you can't do the job, Fred can fire you because you couldn't do the job, and he doesn't know that you couldn't.
Wouldn't have been the more callous thing for the Patriots to do is to put him on the NFI non-injury list, not pay him,
right,
and now he has no chance? For all we know, the Jets could sign him tomorrow.
Well, they could claim him today.
And that's a risk that the Patriots were willing to take.
He could work this year thanks to the Patriots.
It's a double standard like that. What can go on in the sport and what can go on in the real world, it would not be acceptable.
I just don't agree with that. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, but if he's working a construction job, there's no requirement to be over 300 pounds.
Right.
I think he could do, there are very few jobs.
Sumo wrestler. If he were a sumo wrestler, he probably would lose his job.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because
right.
A sumo wrestler has to be a big fat guy to bump bellies.
Sport. Again.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to think of a job that's not.
I'm a cubicle.
I guess if you were the mascot of some famous something as a big fat guy and you suddenly lost 200 pounds, they'd fire you.
The very nature of his position requires him to do something that negatively affects his fight with diabetes. I mean, that's a fact.
But again, there's so many situations. Let's say you were actually hit by the bomb in the marathon bombing. You lost your leg. No. Let's say
anybody,
theoretically,
hypothetically,
right? Lost their legs in the bomb, and their job was to be a bouncer.
Or you could still do that.
American construction.
No, that company would probably provide some other option for you, and then if you didn't take it, you didn't take it.
Right. You can take a desk job or whatever you do.
You can't physically be a bouncer if that's the situation.
And according to the report, what were the options the Patriots offered?
Oh, well, I'm guessing that he could have taken a job with Team Ops and just been a day-of-game security guy, I'm guessing, for $20,000 or whatever.
That's a big guess, though.
No, I don't think that's a guess. I think if I went upstairs right now and asked Robert Kraft, would you hire Kyle Love to work security today, and Mark Briggs, who runs Team Ops, they would say, oh, yeah, good guy, hardworking employee.
Yeah, and that
now,
wasn't
he's not getting his salary of $450,000. He'll get the normal pay for Team Ops. And that's exactly what they would do in other lines of work. You would go to a different place within the...
I don't think that you just blow smoke for the Patriots. So if you think that, I don't know.
And by the way, your marathon comparison is an apt one because I actually watched a guy on CNN who was with three or four other guys who were severely injured, who lost hands and legs, who are all laborers, construction workers, and he was saying, I hope people remember us because we can no longer do our jobs. We are out of jobs.
Yeah.
Life isn't fair. Something happened. You're out of jobs. So don't tell me it's a double standard. The way the world works is if you can't do your job, you lose your job. Now, you may get the chance to do something else.
Awfully cold, and I don't think.
And that's why you have insurance.
Right.
If
you're lucky.
Right.
No.
Some of these laborers and stuff probably don't.
Right.
Now, I don't know through unions and different things, but that's the way the world works. And they may be offered a union job or a desk job or this, but they have to choose. Do I want that? Do I make the same money?
Everybody just do your job.
Yes.
And maybe, I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show, but I also brought up initially if this were Vince Wilfork who'd been diagnosed, would the Patriots have treated it the same way? So we're not just letting them off the hook here, the way you say. I mean, we are looking at both sides of this.
The point got brought up. Like, Wilfork cashed in. He made it. Like, everything he gets, I mean, this is NFL world, which it's either you get the big contract, and that's it.
No, but my point was, would they have been so quick to make a decision with him because of who he is?
That was my point. That's a great question, too.
I think they would.
In his case, he can walk away and be like, "I got my $20 million in the bank."
But you know what? But you know what? I just want to make one point. Kyle Love has been. This is going into his fourth year in the league. He's had 3 years making six-figure salaries. He doesn't. Let's assume that he has not spent all of that money
made
in all
a lot
of
more
that
money
time
than I've ever made.
He should be comfortable enough if he's smart and invested his money and saved it properly. He shouldn't have to work for the next 5 to 10 years as it is on the money he's already made.
Or he can just get the low-paying job that is
and work his way up to something.
Whatever
exactly.
He's got.
All right, Brian, thank you for the call. Passionate and
thanks, Brian.
Good call.
Yeah, you got me all hot and bothered. I had to take my windbreaker off.
Got to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card,
you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
I'll tell you, I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
Oh, my God.
And I'm the inappropriate one.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
Kevin, could I get a water?
He did inhale a sub or whatever the hell he ate.
Come on, in 2.5 minutes. That was pretty impressive. So you didn't throw anything away, huh?
A little bit.
You make me feel a little
guilty.
Actually
made that break 5 minutes for him.
I threw away about a quarter of it.
What was it?
Better than usual.
What was it?
Veal parm.
Better not let Aaron know that.
You'll be digging through them. In light of today's conversation, I'm a little guilty watching Fred suck down that sub.
Let's go to back to the
Paul
phones.
Chews away on the pepperoni calzone.
Kat's been holding on from Chicago. Hey, Kat.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
What's up, girl? There
you go.
I'm needing a cookie now.
So just listening to this whole argument and that kind of previous knucklehead caller, I have a couple of things. The first is that, you know, the Patriots and the NFL in general are not responsible for the player's ability to work after the NFL. If they're smart guys, they know that they should stay in school, they should get their degree, they should have an option. You need to plan that before you get into the NFL. What am I going to do after? Because everybody knows it's not going to last forever.
Right. Like Daron Harmon.
No way.
He's already planning on going to law school and becoming a labor lawyer and running the NFLPA.
Right, exactly. There should be a plan in place before you ever get into the league and a plan B and whatever you're going to do. So that whole argument to me is crazy.
Which is the same for everybody. That's common. I mean, everybody gets a degree and has a goal in mind when they leave college. I'm going to go do X. But most people also have but if I don't get a job within a month or two, I'm going to have to go home and work at McDonald's or do that summer job. I mean, everybody has to have kind of a plan B if the plan A.
Well, and be willing to be flexible.
Right. You know? I mean, these are all real world problems. People get sick. People lose their jobs. People lose their ability to earn. And it just it's how the world works.
Yeah, exactly. Secondly, this whole idea of, you know, the Patriots being liable and there being lawsuits and all of this stuff is also, I think, a bit overreaction, definitely. I have taken probably 3 or 4 semesters of coursework in employment law.
Nice.
Just as part of my degree. And the whole concept of reasonable accommodation is that there can't be an undue burden on the employer. And this would be an undue burden. You can't expect a defensive tackle to, like you said, weigh 260 pounds and to have that not be an undue burden on the rest of the team.
Right.
It can't happen. You're going to get other guys hurt. You're putting other people in jeopardy.
And himself.
And by the way, even at 6'1", 260 pounds is
big.
Overweight.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. And on top of that, the idea that personally, I don't think he's going to get picked up. I think any team that picks him up is absolutely crazy because here's a guy that you get diagnosed with diabetes, you drop weight, and now he's putting it back on. That's the absolute worst thing that a diabetic can do.
Right.
And it's not like he can go for years at a high weight and be okay and only suffer minor problems. I mean, if you're overweight and you have diabetes, you're talking about organ problems. You're destroying your internal organs.
Well,
you're talking about possible strokes. You're talking about having to amputate fingers and toes and feet.
Here's a thought, though. What if another team decides he's worth the risk, bring him into camp, let him see what he can do, and then with the thought being, we'll put him on IR. He will get his salary for the year because they have to pick up the contract if they pick him up off waivers, and we can still let him take a year to try to get back to some sort of semblance of normalcy, whatever that might be, and he wins because he gets his yearly salary and also gets to, you know, spend a year concentrating on his health.
What if he has a stroke in training camp?
Well, maybe they do it early on, you know, like maybe after a day or two they decide, all right, you're going on IR, just to give him the satisfaction of having been with another team, getting camp, but then they decide, all right, you're going to get one of those,
that's pretty,
you know,
altruistic,
I just can't flus.
I also think it's risky. Yeah. Now, I don't know exactly how bad it could happen, but as soon as you claim him and he comes and works out in your facility, now you're tied into him if he has a stroke or I would deem him untouchable right now if I were an NFL team. It's not worth the risk.
I mean, the other thing, Eric, is, you know, if you're, what's the point of that? What, you know, there's no way, what is he going to do in that year to get his health under control? Unless he drops 100 pounds,
right.
Unless he starts eating right, there's no, I mean, there's nothing. He has diabetes.
No, no. I'm just saying, if a team liked him enough that they wanted to take a chance on him, they could do that.
But it would be very ill-advised from anyone who has a credible doctor's degree.
And plus, what's the point? I mean, we're not talking about Warren Sapp in his prime. We're talking about a borderline starting caliber second-tier defensive tackle, you know, a run stuffer in a day and age where stuffing the run is a useless thing, according to Paul Perillo. So I don't see the – I think he's untouchable. I would not claim him. I think that would be a risk with no reward.
I guess my point is, though, is that even if he takes a year, what is he going to come back and do? Because it's not going to do him any good to take a year off, lose the weight, get healthy, and then come back to football and have to regain the weight.
Right.
It's not like the diabetes will go away and then not come back if you stop doing healthy things. Right.
And for all we know, the Patriots, you know, option was really in the back of their minds that he's going to realize this on his own.
Right.
You know? Yeah, hopefully.
I would think that was part of their plan, but it seems like he and his agent are just hammering home the point, we're playing this year. And I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that those guys have a hard time letting go of the NFL when they're done. And so, I mean, I give them a little leeway for that. I think, I hope, in another month or 2 months or however long it takes, you know, this is relatively new for him, he's going to realize, maybe his wife and his kid, maybe Vince can talk to him and say, look, man, you know, you're going to kill yourself.
Right.
Yeah, and you're going to kill yourself. Point.
And I actually, I completely agree with everything you guys have said, and if I were him, I would have taken the offer to take a year off.
Yeah,
because I would have liked to have focused on my health. I'm just saying,
giving him credit for it's a difficult decision. He's in his prime. All that the team had to step in and do the right thing and make the decision for him
because he was adamant that he wanted to play this year.
And that's what I mean. Sometimes you don't always make the best decisions for yourself, and you count on those around you to kind of help you make the right decision.
I was just trying to look at other scenarios that other teams might be interested in. I completely agree that he should concentrate on, when you get diagnosed with something as serious as diabetes, you should put all other things aside and focus on that.
And it's so new, and I think that's Kat's point, you know, and hopefully he'll come to the realization. If it's only been 2 weeks, like they've sort of been intimating in the reports, you know, maybe he hasn't really thought this through yet. And then
plus he gained the weight back. He's probably thinking, what? I gained the weight back. I'm fine. Right. I'm, you know, I got it back. Yeah, we had that little incident. I lost the weight, but I get it back.
For him, the best thing
they don't know
what
they're talking about.
No one signing him would be the best thing.
Yes.
Right. And if I were his wife, I'd be, you better trust me that I would be in his ear all the time. You got to retire.
Yep. The love lady.
The other thing is, I think if it were Vince, like you guys were saying, knowing that Vince has seen his parents go through this and that he has his foundation, and this is something that he's very passionate about, I have to think Vince would retire. I have to think that Vince wouldn't put them in a situation of,
I want to play.
He would, I don't know.
Because Vince already thinks about this now.
He's talked about the risk, he's thought about this since he was drafted,
and all that.
He probably prays every day.
Right, and so for somebody to tell, he would just say, well, it finally caught up to me, it's done, I'm out. I got to do what's right now.
He knows that's game over, that diabetes. Maybe if it was a different position, maybe if it was a safety or a corner, you know, a wide receiver, you know, a quarterback, like we were talking, you could manage that. But a heavy guy, it's just impossible.
Right. How else do you get diabetes?
Thanks, Kat.
Type one is you're born with.
You're born with.
Type one is you have it.
Type and you two always is, ha- you is, always have it.
Oh yeah, I don't
you
think
always
you can
have
get rid
to
of type
do,
one.
Right,
yeah.
So you could be like Jay Cutler was what?
I think he's type one.
Type one.
Yeah.
So he was born with it.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
NFL draft expert Matt LePan writes in, I have a few family members and friends with diabetes, one of which played football, and his doctor told him that he is at a highly increased risk of losing sensation in his hands and feet, which could lead to serious nerve damage and even amputation. That was at the college level. So the risk at the NFL has to be huge. I got a feel for the guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I feel for him because, as I said, I like him. I think he's a good guy. But I also think, you know, what Brian and Brighton was saying, you know, there's no other options and blah, blah, blah. No, I don't see it. Like, James Harrison, okay, you might be able to sell me. James Harrison doesn't have a lot going on for him after football's done. I think Kyle Love is a pretty likable. I'm not going to pretend he's going to go, you know, be a rocket scientist anywhere. None of us are. But I think he could find a way to support a family and earn a living. And, you know, especially you go to these SEC schools, you have connections, you have.
Yeah, I mean, how do you know he's not a writer?
Right.
How do you know he couldn't become a reporter and cover the
NFL?
I
don't get the thought that a guy can't possibly make money after his career is over. He needs to maximize, blah, blah, blah. you know, he has a life. He has like 40 years to live after that where he can make not $500,000 a year. Maybe it's just a normal $38,000 a year, but he'll find a way to live on it.
You're right, but it is tough for a lot of these guys to let go. You know, you get to the top of the pyramid, and it's tough for these guys. They're not thinking level-headed about the whole thing.
And we've gotten some tweets, you know, they take risks all the time, just play it. But this is different. There's an increased risk here beyond the normal, and a more direct risk, in my opinion. You know, I'm all for taking steroids to maximize your earning potential, and there is a risk. There is a long-term risk. I think this is a shorter-term risk. As a 320-pound guy who just had, by the way, just had an issue. He found out he has diabetes because his body said, you have diabetes. I just lost 20 pounds. There's something going on here. It's not like it was totally by random. You know, he got a physical, and they said, by the way, you have diabetes. He knows he has diabetes because there was something happening in his body, an adverse effect from the diabetes. So it's in some sort of a state where it's already affecting him directly, not like steroids where you say, you know, when I'm 60, I might die or have a heart, you know. So don't compare it to the other risks that are involved. To me, this is a direct and immediate risk.
All right. Let's get to some of the other emails. People want to talk about some other things besides Kyle Love. James in Brisbane says, loving the off-season show, some of your best work. It even made the Patriots football – it even made the Patriots football daily app the first download on my iPad last year. iPad. Keep up the tangents.
You really struggled with that email.
Yeah. Keep up the tangents and other crap you guys talk about. It's awesome. Horny/inappropriate PFW is the best. Anyway, I have one football and one non-football question for you. If the Patriots are going to make an upgrade at their receiver position, can you name one realistic target to acquire via free agency or trade, and what would it cost to bring them in? I don't know.
I don't think the remaining
list is.
The free agent list I don't think is that great. And via trade, a realistic trade? I mean, because, you know, any old trade, you'd want the obvious people. Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson.
Again.
But a realistic trade?
AJ Green, Julio Jones. A realistic trade for somebody at receiver that would help you? Can we get that Welker guy from Denver?
Yeah, that'd be funny.
I don't... I mean, I haven't done enough research into guys who are on other teams that we could trade for, but it doesn't seem like there's an abundance of receivers in a lot of places. It seems like everybody's saying they could use another receiver.
Yeah, and not necessarily realistic, but maybe a guy like Hakeem Nicks, who's going to be a free agent. Maybe the Giants look at it. They're trying to get Cruz signed. Maybe they look and say, I don't know if we're going to be able to do both. Maybe he could be had.
Ballard for Nicks?
non-football question. Since it's off-season time and it's story time, what was your best moment playing sport?
My best moment playing sport?
Well, the special edition to PFW in Progress are all mine.
Was it when you gave up that home run that went over the Marlboro Man?
That never happened.
You call Scott Pioli a liar? Long ball Paul?
Absolutely. Never happened.
I would say, you know, beating Andy in three sports.
Knew that was coming.
I would have to say pitching at Fenway Park.
That's pretty cool.
That was big.
Did you pitch really well?
Cool. I pitched very well.
Did you win?
No.
Story of his life. I pitched very well. No, we did not win.
No.
So you should be one of those sabermetricians who, you know, wins are the most stupid statistic in all of baseball.
Whatever. I did make the All-Star team despite the fact that I had a losing record. So maybe they were ahead of their time.
Now, did they have to take one from every team?
No, we had four guys on our team make it.
How many teams are in this league?
Eight.
Oh, so yeah.
Harry in West Hartford, Connecticut. Coach Bill is usually a step or two ahead of everyone else when it comes to the evolution of the NFL game. Do
really?
You see these recent moves to rid themselves of slow, plodding, traditional-style defensive tackles a signal that going forward the Patriots will pass rush will come from anywhere on the field with the most direct path to the quarterback coming from the middle of the line?
You mean like everybody else has been doing for a decade?
Yeah, see, in this case...
He's so far behind the curve, he doesn't see the curve.
A theme in the past few drafts has been to bring in more fast, athletic football players, while slower ones like Welker, Woodhead, Dedrick, Love are getting jettisoned. I expect Chip Kelly...
Woodhead's slow?
Yeah.
I think he's slow.
I don't. I think he's one of the quicker guys I've seen.
Well, I think he's quick. I don't think he's fast.
Well, to me, quick and fast can both be a speed. It's just whether it's a short-term speed or a long-term speed.
I think he's pretty quick.
Well, quick is the ability to elude.
Right.
You know?
And I think that's important for a third down back.
And fast is the ability to outrun.
Right. Which, if you're not quick, you never get to outrun anyone.
Right.
Conversely, if you're really quick,
unless
sometimes
wide
you
open.
Don't outrun. Yeah. But when is a third down back wide open with you know nobody around?
A theme in the
past. Shane Green against the Jets last year.
Okay, give me the other two in the top
Good.
Three cases.
Good. I expect Chip Kelly and the Philadelphia Eagles to unveil the fastest tempo offense we have seen to date, and as a copycat league, other teams will follow. Pro football is becoming more like the fast break offense of pro basketball, with a need for faster and more athletic players. In fact, quarterbacks in today's offense are closer to the ball distributing style of Rajon Rondo than Johnny Unitas. Traditional defenses are giving way to formations that leverage faster players who can either upset the timing of the quarterback or cover the five-man flood of receivers. Defensive tackles may rush the quarterback on one play and be expected to cover the tight end on the next, while a linebacker is sent in on a blitz. This demands players to be athletic or in on one of Bill's favorite words, versatile.
No one's asked as a defensive tackle to, quote, cover the tight end. There are zone blitzes and there are swaps where guys drop. But you're not, quote, covering the – and by the way, that's something that Dick LeBeau has been doing for
I think
30 years.
if that's true, what you're saying, emailer, then Bill's kind of the last to get to this point.
He's been drafting big run-stuffing outside linebacker, got to set the edge and all that crap forever.
I think there was, like, two different philosophies that were kind of mixed up in there. I do think there's a more athletic turn across the board. I think teams are looking for closer to 11 really, really prime athletes on the field at once, as opposed to, you know, four or five, and then you know a bunch of big linemen blocking. You know, you get guys like Gronk and Hernandez now at tight ends. You know, there was a time a tight end was a sixth lineman.
Right.
That's long. You know, left the building. I mean, everybody has a tight end now that can move in space and. You know, not as good as Gronk and Hernandez, you know, as a tandem, but everybody has a pass-catching tight end now.
But haven't a lot of defenses been going this athletic route for a long time?
Well, that's like Fred's point. You know, if
Tampa
that is
2
true,
has been around forever, and the Tampa 2 was based solely on athleticism.
And you want to take the I don't know exactly in terms of scheme, but Jimmy Johnson was known forever for having small athletic defenses.
Right.
Didn't care about the big, huge guys. Needed guys like Leon Lett that were freak athletes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that could run. And if you were big, you had to be able to run.
That said, it does seem like that's what the Patriots are doing, is going athletic.
Absolutely.
Just not sure we can give Bill credit for being ahead of the curve.
I think Fred's point is he's one of the last to adapt.
Aaron writes in, great work by you guys setting the table. Plenty of topics to feast on today. And speaking of feasting, it appears Love was cut from the team due to medical problems from being overweight. Let's hope the same policy isn't applied to PFW. Pause to stare at Paul. I, however, think...
I'm drinking my nice healthy water right now.
To be fair here, both my uncle and my grandfather have diabetes.
Is that right?
Grandfather lost some toes and a foot or something because of it before he died.
My grandmother had it.
Should we be worried? You got any diabetes in the family?
No. Except my dog.
I'd still be worried if I were you.
My dog.
He takes such pleasure. Are animals able to... Are they born with type 1? Is there type 1, type 2 with them too?
I don't know.
This was a food thing with yours, right? He was fat.
Well, it's because of the
pugs are kind of fat, aren't they?
Like, but he's not. He wasn't that fat.
It's really. It's weird though.
It was more because of the prednisone that he was taking.
I blame a lot on steroids. It's like my theory. They speed up everything and they make you.
Predisposed.
You can be really thin though, and you know if you're born with it, and you could be thin your entire life. You're just
But that's type 1 diabetes. Yeah. I'm talking about type 2.
Type 2. It's mostly
don't know
from
which kind.
Being overweight.
Yeah.
It really is, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I, however, think that the shedding of defensive run stoppers is the result of one thing. Bill is looking to improve the pass defense. He has been looking to improve the defensive backfield for some time, which with elderly vets and unheard-of draft picks. And let's face it, Ty Law isn't walking through those doors. So the next best thing...
But if he did, he'd be the best cornerback on the team.
create incentives for teams to not pass. Move the proverbial cheese. And since we...
Wait. Now we're not going to put any D-tackles on the field. We're just hoping they run. Please run.
The defense won't score now with losses of Welker, Gronk, and Hernandez, running the ball will shorten the game and maybe give the Patriots a chance to win now and then. I say, well done, Bill, from sarcastic Aaron.
I have a very important tweet to read.
Yes.
Scott in Atlanta. Driving through Florida, got out of my car at a gas station, and my girlfriend says, "Good God, this state stinks." Thank you. My point is proven. Florida smells from top to bottom.
Okay. Let's see.
Although you haven't been to the Florida Keys.
No, but we had some other people that have.
Certainly
that
it doesn't
smells.
Smell at Disney World. It's the cleanest place on earth.
There you go, Paul. Yeah. Thank you.
That's right in the middle of the state.
It's because they got all those perverts in costumes cleaning the, filtering the air.
Cliff and Bam, greeting from Bama. I'm getting to listen to you live today. I bet I'm your only listener that is listening while dissecting placentas.
Ew.
Anyway, here's a few short thoughts on the recent rules.
Thanks for sharing.
And you're right. I'm sure you're right.
The 3-4.
I hope you're right. Sorry.
He's probably right. Paul, you think he's right?
Is he right?
The 3-4 is dead in New England. Tommy Kelly and Armstead are going to have to be key contributors, and that's risky. Sad to see Dedrick go. He was a badass. When he was at Alabama, he got shot in the arm in a robbery and still started the same weekend. That's hardcore. And also hate to see Kyle Love go. Best of luck to him. It's hard to be a big nose tackle. It's just not healthy.
Right. Tree stump.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's... Is it risky for both of those to count on those two guys? Armstead and Kelly?
Sure it's risky.
Yeah.
I mean, Kelly has started... 5 straight years, every game.
But you don't know what he has left?
No, but I mean, he was once a very good player.
Yes.
Let's not pretend Kyle Love was, you know, a Hall of Famer.
Right.
So if he's lost something to be the sidekick next to Wilfork.
So in this case, maybe it's an upgrade.
Or the same. Yeah. If he can stay out there, I find it hard to believe you're going to say, Kyle Love would have never let that happen.
Listen, if they have... I don't want to be disrespectful, but whether Tommy Kelly plays or not, I find it hard to believe that anybody's going to say, boy, they really miss Kyle Love.
Well, I liked Kyle Love.
I liked him a lot.
I think if you played Ron Brace, you'd say they miss Kyle Love.
Yeah, I'm not sure you would.
Because I never saw Kyle Love get bitch slapped and put on roller skates like I saw Ron
Brace.
No, I
think Kyle Love was better than – this is one of my – you know, like how much better is the best guy at that job than the worst guy?
Well, now you're getting back to my thing. Why did we ever give $40 million to the other guy?
Well, that's kind of how I feel.
Could have had Julius Peppers. Instead, you gave $40 million to that guy.
I like Kyle Love a lot. I think he's a great story. I think he did a good job carving out a role for himself. I think a lot of guys can do that.
Mark in Canada says, if a person with diabetes doesn't keep his blood sugars within a healthy range, the long-term effects could be kidney disease, heart disease, wounds that don't heal properly, blindness, loss of sensation in the limbs. Among other things, easy to see why if they wanted him to be a big defensive tackle, they doubt his ability to do this and be healthy.
Yeah, I didn't know the wound thing. You're going to get wounds.
Yeah.
You're going to get scrapes and cuts and burns and stuff from playing. And if those aren't healing, the more I hear, the more I think it was the right move and you had to do it.
Juice says the guy in Florida says the smell was coming from his girlfriend.
Oh. Well, then why didn't it smell in the car?
I don't know. Maybe the movement stirred things around.
Ew.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Al's in smelly Florida. Hey, Al.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
I'm sitting here listening to you guys. A few things on this diabetes issue. I'm a type 2 diabetic, diagnosed about 12 years ago. At that time, I was 5'8", 165 pounds. In fact, when I went in just for a routine, checkup, my doctor missed it. I pointed it out on the test results, and then we found out I had type 2 diabetes. Also, the first 2 months afterwards, it was a mess. You have to sort out the meds you have to be on. You have to get used to taking them, figure out what food you can't eat. Example is I can't eat bananas. Why? We have no idea, but they just spike my blood sugar. A lot of the things that go wrong with you, you heard about, cuts not healing, that can be a problem if you don't get it under control. Even a bruise won't heal. Some of the things that weren't mentioned was you can lose sensation in your feet. I have to be careful of that. I've already lost some. And your feet can start burning. And by the way, I'm a very well-controlled diabetes. They have a test known as HA1C, and the goal is to keep it ideally between the test 6 and 6.5. 6 is the top of the normal range. And tell you how unusual the disease is, one time the test came in at 5.7, And this new doctor I have kind of gave me a lecture. It's such a frustrating disease that if you get within the normal range, you can cause more problems than if you're outside the normal range. So I have to kind of try to keep it between that 6 and 6.5.
Okay, so Al, you know, as a diabetic, what advice would you give for someone who was just diagnosed who is 330 pounds? You know,
I'd lose 70 pounds, yeah. And I would not, you know, the first few months, I would really watch what I was doing. I certainly wouldn't be out there running around. I had a thing one night, I'm driving home, and all of a sudden I'm getting lightheaded and sweating, and it's like, for some godforsaken reason, my insulin was low. Okay.
Yep.
And, you know, there was, also, let me tell you, you were wondering, and by the way, mine was kind of inherited, they figured, because my father had it. There were three factors that can cause it. You know, your liver produces the insulin. Typically, that's what happens with type 1 diabetes. The liver stops producing the insulin. We'll just keep it simple there. Also, there is communication, we'll say, between your stomach and, sorry, not your liver. Your pancreas produces the insulin. Okay, sorry about that. Then there's communication when you eat food between your stomach and your pancreas. I don't know how that works, but it tells your pancreas to produce the insulin. You also have receptors on your cells that then take in use the insulin to take in the sugar, thus reducing the sugar levels in your blood. If any one of those three fail, then you end up with diabetes. So you also want to have to go through and try to figure out which one or more than one of those are impacting you.
Okay. All right.
And yep. Once you can kind of do that, you know, they have different meds for different things. Your liver produces sugar. You know, example, your biological clock says, hey, it's time for you to wake up, and it starts pumping away and produces sugar. So a lot of times you can wake up with high blood sugar. There's a med to control that. Okay, it tells your liver to produce less sugar. There's also a med that can tell your stomach, that has your stomach inform your pancreas to produce insulin, which happens to be a very good one for me. And there was a med that I was taking at one point to improve the receptors on your cells to be able to take in the sugar out of your blood. But turned out I did not need that one.
All right. Well, Al, thanks. Thank you. You know, it's interesting stuff. And, you know, I was hoping that someone, you know, in the know would call in and give us a little bit more insight.
You know, my other question would be, and I don't know much about this at all. I'll start by saying that. I know some, like, bodybuilders and weightlifters and steroid users use insulin in conjunction with programs. And I wonder if there'd be some sort of issue with that, too.
Yeah,
now, Cutler and some other guys play. I don't know.
It can't be good.
Oh, no. Nothing's good.
Taz in Toronto, I agree with everything you guys have said. I didn't even totally think of all the facts you mentioned. So I think even more, this was a move that was done right, and in the end can benefit Kyle if he does want to risk playing again so soon.
Maybe he'll go to Canada.
Compare it with players that have issues with concussions. I'm sure you can find doctors that say you can play, but if you look at a guy like Austin Collie, he was a productive wide receiver with the Colts, but missed a lot of time with concussions. Are all teams being unfair by not taking a risk on him, both roster-wise and health-wise? It's just a life, as Andy said. Kyle should no longer weigh that much and needs to lose weight to get healthier, whether he likes it or not. Also, any idea if the Patriots will have a joint practice with the Eagles this offseason?
In training camp, you mean?
Yeah.
Probably.
I mean, Shiano pretty much
during the regular
came out and said he expects to have a joint practice up here.
Yes.
With the Buccaneers.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I would imagine there's a strong likelihood that we're going to Philly for a couple of days.
You think so?
Yes. Why you got that look?
I don't know.
You don't want to go?
I don't want to have two joint practices.
Well, we've had two joint practices.
We did last year.
Yeah.
Right? New Orleans and Tampa.
Yeah, I don't want to do it again.
We did it.
It's got to be more.
The first year, too. We went to Atlanta and New Orleans came here.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that. Side related note with the Eagles, did you see that? I don't know that they've said they're going to use it, but his visual play calling boards are legal in the NFL.
Really?
With the pictures and, you know, how they call plays at Oregon with like, remember they had like Trey Wingo was one of them and he got all excited.
The Patriots used the grease boards that one game. No, but work, but they used it.
No, but this is, I mean, do you know what this is?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I've seen those. Yeah.
This is like huge boards with
and
like
the NFL said it's okay.
You.
Right, that have a picture of Obama.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen that.
I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether it would be good, kinda bad, whatever. I think it would be just different and fun. I don't know why you'd need it when you have a headset.
Now,
I just answered my own question.
Now,
they don't call plays, you moron. They talk to the guy.
Would it be cheating if you tried to decode those?
Obviously.
Oh, please.
Did you record them?
Please.
Pro Andy over here. All Patriots all the time.
Let's see. Kirk in Ringe, New Hampshire says, I completely agree with Andy on this one. Money or life? Obviously, you choose life. The caller is out there. Is he from Iowa, too?
Oh. No, more from Iowa crime.
Ironically, he was from Brighton. Should be called Dunson.
Tom in D.C. says, while I like Kyle Love as much as the next guy, I can understand why the Patriots did what they did. What I don't understand is why there have been rumblings of discrimination spearheaded by that premature obituary publisher, Mike Florio.
That's right.
I don't understand why it's so hard for people to understand the difference between someone like Jay Cutler playing QB with type 1 diabetes and a mountain of a man playing D-line at 340-plus with type 2 diabetes. The most common and effective treatment for type 2 diabetes is weight loss. As such, I can understand why the Patriots felt the need to part ways with Baby Vince. What do you guys think? Thanks for all the help. Thanks for all you do to keep us Patriots fanatics satiated in these bleak post-draft months. Well, we've kind of said what we thought. So
I'm with the team.
Tammy, on the other hand, is not happy with the Patriots organization. She thinks that, you know, she says, there is more to be cut than the diagnosis because I have a college baseball player that has type 1 since age 9. And it's made him more a disciplined athlete and has respect for the game.
So he weighs 340
right.
pounds? See, I was just wondering.
She's missing the point, but she ends up saying there has to be an NFL team that will take that chance that shows class and heart. Bad move on the Patriots, and maybe whoever is the person that made that call, maybe they can take some time and do some research with diabetics as athletes.
Maybe you should.
See, they can live a perfectly normal life. Shame on you, Patriots, she says.
Tammy, you might want to do a little Googling, a little research, and find out about diabetes and playing nose tackle in the NFL and all that. You said it right. The baseball player, I'm sure he is a very disciplined athlete. I'm sure he's very disciplined in managing his diabetes. But the problem is, how can you be a disciplined athlete managing your diabetes when you're attempting to weigh 320 pounds?
Right.
Those two things collide. They don't work parallel to each other.
AJ from the 302 writes in, just curious about the status of Julian Edelman because I heard he was in a walking boot again. And do you guys think he could serve as an emergency quarterback? Just a thought, seeing as how Mallett was the sole backup during games last year. Also, I saw his image of Hernandez, Tom, and Gronk as Ghostbusters on the Patriots subreddit in response to the Ryan Clark ghost comments. It was a good laugh. They'll be ready for week 9. Okay.
I didn't see that.
You didn't see the image?
I don't understand what you're saying.
Right here.
I just didn't really understand it.
Somebody posted this image on Reddit. Remember the Ghostbusters, the movie?
Yeah. What's Reddit?
It's sort of like a big, huge bulletin board for people to post stuff and conversations of the day and, you know.
You don't want Edelman playing emergency quarterback because you wouldn't be throwing the football.
Right.
Although I do think that he probably would be the best candidate.
Probably.
If they lost two and they needed someone to take snaps,
he's
probably
at least done it before.
It would probably
I don't know.
Be
Donald
him.
Jones said he can do it all.
He can do it. He played option quarterback, which means he was running most of the time.
True.
Which means you wouldn't be throwing the ball as the Patriots.
He's 5'7".
Yeah. But I think that
in
terms
see
of
over the line
taking snaps,
throw.
I think he would be the most likely alternative.
Yeah. Just a random thing.
As far as we know, he's still in a walking boot.
He was kind of quiet on Twitter for a long time. And then today, I don't know if you remember, he used to do all those female Fridays where he would just post hot pictures of female followers. And today, all of a sudden, he tweeted, is it female Friday yet? Like, out of the blue. So he's kind of getting, I don't know, back in the mix and whatever.
Getting his
swagger back.
On.
So maybe he lost the boot.
Dave in Wisconsin.
He's
ootin' the boot.
After yet another fairly disappointing and uneventful draft in which we saw the annual head-scratching pick to which we've all become accustomed, I'm finding myself even more annoyed when Belichick spews his value nonsense nowadays. I don't know how, in good faith, he can justify all his picks, Harmon especially, by saying there was good value there, when to me, it seems exactly the opposite. For somebody to so enamored with value, a huge piece of that concept is understanding how other teams view the player so that you can take the player you target in the latest round possible. And while it seems completely unlikely that a player like Harmon was even a target for other teams, I would think Belichick has to understand that no other team would have the balls to go against every analyst and fan to draft such a player so early if it was a player that they liked. For this reason, the whole value strategy just doesn't jive. Good player at a good price is the definition of value. The price is the draft pick, and you could have gotten a lot of these players later on a lower cost. That leads me to the conclusion that it is strictly an ego thing. I'm going to win with players that nobody else picked just to prove I'm the best.
You can't say that you definitely could have gotten them later. You don't know the 31 other teams and how
Tampa
they value
Bay
them.
Has eight Rutgers guys on their roster. There's a good chance that in the next pick, Schiano could have picked Harmon.
No, but I'm not even saying any one player from you don't know what other teams think.
No, you don't.
You have no idea. You can try to figure out and needs and all that, but you don't know if anyone else would take him. So you can't definitively say it's not like everything has a price tag. Oh, this guy, he's got a fourth-round price tag on him, but I'm taking him in the second because I want him. You can't say that definitively. You just can't.
No. It's impossible.
Now,
I don't like the pick.
Right.
You're allowed to do that.
And you can kind of believe it. I really think you could have got him later. That you're allowed to think that, and you just can't definitively say that they overdrafted all these guys. And some of the guys they overdrafted have been good. You know, we've had discussions about Vollmers and different guys in the past. I'm not even sure everybody was in love with Logan Mankins. You know, there's guys that have turned out pretty well.
Yeah, the Mankins one, I think, gets lumped in there a lot, and everybody was pretty much in agreement that he was a end of the first.
He was a borderline first-line pick.
Early second-round pick. I think that
but you
Vollmer,
can't even do
to
that.
Me.
You can't do it the pro way either. You know what I mean? Like, you can't say Taylor Mays is a second-round. You can't say positive or negative definitively what a guy is.
No, you can't. But
you know
I
what he is? He's where he gets drafted.
People
That's what
make
he ends
this argument that Logan Mankins, everybody thought that they overdrafted him, and I don't necessarily think that's the case.
But we don't know. That's my point.
No,
my
what
whole
I'm saying
is
I don't think
know.
That people made the argument that they overdrafted him. That,
oh, I
know
think
that.
Some people did.
I think people were curious about the fact that Bill immediately said he's going to play guard.
Right.
That's the thing that really stuck out to me. We drafted a guard in the first round when he said, you know, you can always get a guard. That's the thing that really took me, but
I can't wait till he storms in here one day. Can you stop saying I said that? I know I said it. Yeah. I shouldn't have said it. Yeah. Shut up.
No, there's no question. If he ever heard the amount of times that I've made reference to that line, he would tell me to shut up.
By the way, Fred, who are those people?
I don't know. I can't see.
They're gone now. There's a whole group of being guided in by a security
tour.
And there was like six or eight people, business attire. And you, I just laugh. You didn't have the balls.
Someone from BU who seems to really know about diabetes tells us the difference between type 1 and type 2. I won't get into that, but he closes. Well, do you want me to? I mean, are you interested?
Can you just make it real quick? Like,
well, it's not.
Fred can't read.
Type 1 diabetes, there's a loss of cells, islets of Langerhans. Usually
see?
From.
Wait, when I said to just kind of summarize it, I didn't need islets of Immerhanes.
Usually from autoimmune or genetic destruction. The result is an absolute reduction of insulin.
So no is the answer, Paul. He can't summarize it.
Type 1 diabetes requires the administration of insulin. Exercise and diet are beneficial as well. Type 2, there is resistance of tissues to the effects of insulin, leading to relative insulin deficiency. Treatment of type 2 aims at decreasing the requirements of the body for insulin through weight loss, exercise, and proper diet, along with the administration of agents that potentiate the release. Sometimes, but not always, insulin is necessary.
His summary included the word potentiate.
While
I don't know the word potentiate.
While athletes can play
You don't
with,
know from potentiate.
His basic bottom line is, while athletes can play with diabetes, a defensive tackle who needs mass to play the position would be unable to keep the mass necessary to play the position and properly care for his disease. He needs to lose weight, especially fat. And by the way, did the Patriots know about Love when they cut Dedrick?
I have to think so, because
sounds like
the report was it's been going on for multiple weeks, and he was cut 2 days earlier. Quick, just news update, because I know some, we had some very generous listeners that took part in my Boston Marathon fundraising efforts. I received an email today from the Boston Athletic Association that all runners who did not finish officially the marathon, but were officially starters and had numbers, are going to be allowed to run the race next year. So I will be running the marathon next year. I wonder if I get the same number. 255255. Didn't really say that.
I guess, let's see, Steve from Toronto has gone on the attack on Florio on Twitter.
Nice. Oh, yeah. He's going to ban you immediately because he's a dink. He's the world's biggest tough guy who can't take a single shot.
Right. He says since Andy is blocked, and he sends in all his tweets to Florio.
Nice.
So he really went after him.
Oh, boy. Did you use my name? Because then he'll email Fred. You better stop this kid.
He said he actually.
Do I know you?
It's one big
no, you
thing.
Don't, but I know you. You're a dink fraud bully.
Yeah.
You're a bully.
So he defended.
Defending the Patriots. Yeah,
that's what I do.
And then you get yelled at by Patriots fans for it.
The last month I have been.
Melvin from Tennessee wants to know, can you please quickly discuss the difference between a 3-4 nose tackle and defensive tackles in a 4-3? I think the 3-4 nose tackle is supposed to be bigger, more responsibility for the run. I never played the D-line, so some of us might not really know.
There is no – it depends on the scheme to some degree, depending on which 3-4 scheme or which 4-3 scheme you run.
And technique, right?
Penetration.
Overs and unders.
Well, you do. You have overs and unders. I mean, they're always going to be lining up. They're all lining up on either guards or centers. But you could be a pure zero technique lining up on the center like Vince Wilfork in the 3-4, whose job is just to control the two A gaps, own the center. Then you have other guys that could be lined up on the center with a shade to either side and are shooting the gap. They're trying to get in the backfield, penetrating types. You can have overs and unders, as Paul said, in the 4-3. They're on guards. I mean, a lot of schemes have a nose tackle and a defensive tackle in the 4-3. They call one of them a nose tackle in their scheme. Others just have two defensive tackles, a right and a left. So there are a lot of differences, but the bigger difference is, are you two-gapping? Are you being a stout player, kind of a read and react, or are you more of an aggressive, Warren Sapp, I'm shooting gaps, I'm making plays, I'm getting in the backfield type. That's and obviously Love was the two-gap
type. And here they generally are two-gap.
Right.
They don't like the shooting the gap type thing.
Right.
They mind the gap, but they don't shoot
they mind it, yes. They don't shoot it.
Jeremy in Oregon says, love the show. I'm going to give some love to Eric here. I've never quite understood why he gets hammered so much by emailers. I'm going to echo something he has said so frequently during the offseason. Although the Patriots have added much-needed depth, we lack playmakers at the top. It seems like this entire offseason is predicated on Jones, Hightower, Wilson, and Dennard making a year or two jump. You can't say with certainty that from the draft and free agent pickups that this offense or defense is better than last year. It seems like Belichick is banking everything on last year's rookies. With that said, we all want Jones to make the J.J. Watt year two jump, but what if he only improves a little? Let's say he only notches 9 sacks this upcoming season. Let's say Wilson and Dennard improve a little, but not to the point where they are significantly altering games. I'm worried. What's the ceiling for this team then? Because I would be surprised if any one of those 4 players makes a significant improvement from last year.
The ceiling for this team is what it always is,
but also
competing for a number one seed in the AFC.
It depends on what type of sacks Chandler Jones is getting.
Right.
If he gets those cheap little, the quarterback happens to be falling down, I'll tap him and get credit for the sack, meaningless. But if he's making sacks where the quarterback is, actually in the pocket
making
and
plays.
About to, making, yeah, exactly. Making
it all
plays.
Comes down to making plays for all of them. You can't really
third
measure
down.
In anything else.
Is he doing it on third down when
or he may have 4 sacks, but Rob Ninkovich may have 14
right.
because he
because
pressures
he's being occupied.
The, yeah.
Just a little bit of improvement. You go to the Super Bowl instead of losing the AFC Championship. So I'll take it.
So,
Wait. We lost Welker. I did want to let you know as well, our webmaster, Chris Ferreira, the monkey upstairs, who often screws things up.
Did he get something right?
No, he's very down right now. And I like to think he represents the emotional, somewhat idiotic superfan. And he has the Patriots
somewhat?
At 8-8, second place in the division, losing the division to the Dolphins,
okay.
Just so you know. That is the super fan, semi-idiotic view right now.
Okay. Kat
semi?
Chicago says she
trying to be nice.
She says she forgot one thing on her call. Don't listen to people writing in and criticizing the talk about Christian's porn star photo.
I think it's great. Good for him. Tell those complainers to have some compassion. Andy's mom needs a night off sometimes.
Oh! Oh. Well played.
Just because you're a cat, I didn't know you liked pussy, you lesbo.
Biggest tough guy who can't take a shot over here. Right.
No, it's not like I'll never talk to her again. It's all in good fun.
I know.
That was
good stuff right there.
That was brilliant.
Scott thinks.
I did want to ask her, has she ever said if she finished? Remember she was telling us she was like she doing her
the house?
Yeah. Like she was on like year 8 of a redo of her house.
I don't believe so.
And she was planning on going into flipping, and none of us had the heart to tell her if it's taken 8 years to do one project. I'm not sure flipping is the direction you want
to
go.
You've said that to her before, actually.
Okay, I just said it again too then.
There's a show on TV now for that, flipping.
There's really? Been a show
been
on
for
TV
years.
For,
really?
Literally,
you just
like.
Came across this?
It's been on for a long
six, maybe?
Time.
Really? Like yeah. 7 years, probably. Oh, okay. And it's good. I think it actually went off.
There's like
though.
18 different versions.
But the one I liked with Armando and like there were like
oh,
three.
I hated
I
that one.
I loved it. It I was so old, bad. It was good.
I liked the. All he does is yell at everybody.
I know.
All the time.
I loved it.
And then he says, oh, I'm sorry. We got it done.
And then the drink. Annoying geeking high, the voice in the glass has.
I like the ones, the original ones from the South Carolina group.
I don't know if I know
they were
that.
Down by Clemson. I
and
like that one.
The one in Connecticut Richard. Who claimed he played for the Patriots or something. Remember that guy? Brothers. He does infomercials all around. I hear him on the radio, like in Providence, like, I'm from the famous show Flip This House, and come down to my seminar this week. And,
oh, good news is French
I had
is
no
abounded.
Idea.
Honest to God.
All these shows.
But there's like literally been
oh, this
20, 20 different yeah. versions or
oh,
more.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
They have on different
one
channels.
In Vegas. There's one in Texas, South Carolina. There's one locally.
But there's yeah
up in the North Shore, Lynn area, I think.
Fred's like, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it'd be a good idea for a TV show.
oh, they already had it.
Scott wants to know: is there a pool yet for when you think Daron Harmon is scheduled to join Jacksonville?
That's not very nice. I like him. I'm rooting for him.
And Christian says about Cat in Chicago: well played, my friend. Well played.
Yeah.
Speaking of pools, you guys been following this lawsuit in Massachusetts where the guy did a flip off the trampoline into a 2-foot pool and then sued his brother who put the pool next to the trampoline and said he set him up for like a risky thing.
Oh, and, what? Attractive nuisance?
Whatever. Like it was, and he lost. He lost the first lawsuit, but now the Supreme Court has overthrown it and says he deserves another lawsuit against his brother who put a pool next to a trampoline and a 2-family house, by the way. Which also leads me to believe the backyard's probably not all that big. A lot of those 2 families, it's so you don't have a lot of room. You have a trampoline, you have a pool. No one told you you had to do a backflip and try to dive into it, you moron. And he's paralyzed now, by the way. He's paraplegic or whatever, quadriplegic. Good. But you know why? Because he's stupid.
Because he's stupid.
I know that's insensitive, but...
I don't think he has a leg to stand
on. But that's that, and tying it in... You know, people say, you know, the Patriots, there's no way you could sue the Patriots for X. There's always
sue
a way you can sue somebody for something. Right. And you might win. In this whack job state run by your people, anything can win.
Oh, yeah. Did you happen to see the report, the New York Times report yesterday about cops? Cops reminded that topless women cannot be arrested out on the streets. This woman who is like a...
So if you're getting arrested, just pull your shirt down.
You can't be arrested specifically for that.
Oh,
you can't specifically be arrested for that, for going around topless. There's this woman.
Why?
This 46-year-old woman who's like a, she has this character where she plays a paparazzo. It's called like the topless paparazzo. And she puts on like a fake mustache or whatever, but she goes around topless.
Paparazzi?
Paparazzi is the plural.
Right. So
right. Paparazzo is the singular. Okay. Yeah.
Is so she hot?
Might have been
big
maybe
cans?
A few years ago. Yeah, kind of. And her shtick is she goes around without, you know, any top. And, you know, what had been arrested several times for doing this over the years. So she sued the city and it got escalated to a superior court, as we like to say around here. And the courts finally agreed with her and said, and so now the city has this rule where you can't arrest a woman or a man for going topless in the city. New York Times story.
Public nudity is not a...
They said it can't fall under the public indecency thing, and you can't be arrested for that.
Why is it's not genitalia, and why if a man can do it, why can't a woman?
Because they're different.
Yeah,
they're different.
But can a man be attractive to a woman and be a noose?
No. I'm not talking anything about attraction. They're physically different. breasts have a certain implication in our society.
Which is what?
They are forbidden. We've grown for hundreds of years that you can't see breasts. Whether you agree with it, I'm all for breasts being everywhere. You know me. I like breasts.
I'm not, because it loses
It might ruin it. You're right.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right. You're right.
Wow, that turned, turned right around on him.
He is right. And sometimes, like, you think a girl's hot, and then you see her in Playboy, and you're
out.
Like, ew.
Yeah.
Like that blonde. I've said this before.
Jenny McCarthy?
Some blonde. No. She was on a TV show.
Alicia Cuthbert?
No. She's done movies. She's blonde. I can picture her, and she has terrible breasts when you see them free. They're saggy. Ugh. Yeah.
Blonde who's done movies and TV shows.
That narrows it down.
And I can see I can see her.
What has she been in? What has she been in?
Blonde actress?
Yeah. I don't know.
You know the one.
Yeah, you know.
You can't think
of
anything?
She was in like an NBC show. Maybe the one she had a baby.
Plethro? What's her name? Plaskow?
Jessica Simpson?
No.
What's the one that was in Friends?
No.
Lisa Aniston?
Kudrow.
No.
Plaskow.
She was in, I think she had a baby. She's had a show recently where she had a baby in the show. She might have been in that show about the guy with the lottery that went back and made good.
Jamie Presley.
Jamie Presley.
Oh, her breasts are disgusting. Oh.
Just made you want to vomit.
Yeah, I mean, totally ruined it. Because she always, like, you see her in Maxim
as you said that, just before you said it, Christian wrote an email that said Jamie Presley. I swear to God.
See, and he knows breasts.
Man knows
it. Yeah, I don't think she's attractive in any way, though.
Oh, I think she's normal. Ugh. And you say,
But grotesque when she takes her shirt off?
Well, I mean, for someone like you who, you know, is in a dry street.
Just shut up.
Any port in a storm.
Bags of sand.
you shut up, too.
Okay.
Oh, man.
I don't think Dante Hightower is coming. I don't think Dante Hightower is going to be
whatever.
Yeah,
we don't need him.
I apologize for that. We promised Dante Hightower.
No, we were promised Dante Hightower.
Dante.
No, I'm not shifting the blame at this point.
Well, no, there's nothing to shift. The blame does not fall on us.
Unfortunately,
we don't bring the player.
That's right.
Don't hate.
He
the
must
player.
Have got tied up. So,
big guy to tie up.
We'll get him at some other point. Todd has
he's like
quick...
Freddie. He's got a lot of meetings.
Right.
That is true. I mean, you never know when.
That's true.
If Bill says go in this room, we're going to talk for a while, you go in this room and you talk for a while.
That's true.
Did you hear that story last week?
I got an interview with PFW
boys. Ninkovich was pulling in, and he pulled in the first row, and he thought he was going to pull in and park, and it was all full. And the only one that was open was Bill's, and he was like looking at it and like thinking a pull because he had to just run in to get something. And he looks in the rearview mirror, and Bill was behind him. And then he kind of like it was awkward. He couldn't let him get by.
Couldn't get out of the way.
And then he finally, and I guess Bill just looked over and waved his finger at him like to come down.
How do we hear this story?
He was on the Jab. You know that station I do. Because Ninkovich was in town to do something with the main Red Claws, so he did an interview with the Jab, okay. And he was telling the story kind of about how, you know, behind-the-scenes humor with Bill. Like, he's not necessarily, you know, all smiles, laugh a minute, but there are different interactions you have that are funny little stories, and this was his example.
That's funny. Todd wants to know, is Tommy Kelly a two-gap defensive tackle or more of a penetrator? At 6'5", he'd be very tall for a plugger.
Yeah, he's more athletic. I mean, he's definitely... been used more as a penetrator and a guy to make some plays. I mean, back-to-back 7.5 sack seasons or whatever it was 2 years ago. But they've done – I mean, in his time in Oakland, they've been 4-3, 3-4, aggressive. I mean, he goes back. He probably played with Sapp, right? Yeah. I mean, he was there like 10 years. So he's done different things. But I think you're – I mean, he's like 6'6". He's more on the side, I think, of a versatile, can penetrate some, but – when you're 6'6", 340, if you're a good football player, you can do them both.
And final email of the day, Jim from Walpole wants to know, is there any hope this TJ Mo guy is for real? Could he be a Welker clone?
Why, because he's white?
But what would the definition of for real be?
Well, one Ask PFW this week said, here's what I think the receiver depth chart will look like at the end of the year or something, and it said Amendola, Mo, something, something. They had Mo as the second receiver
on
the list.
I'm not discrediting him. I'm just saying he hasn't done anything. I mean, like, in other words, what is he for real that he came and he took part in rookie minicamp?
He came and he...
No, that he could get on the field and be a contributor this year. That's for real, right?
But what I'm saying, like, when you say is someone for real, doesn't that indicate they've done something?
This isn't just
well,
a fluke.
In college he did something.
I think what his
I mean he so what his college career earned him an undrafted free agent contract.
Well, he was better when he had Gabbert, right? And then his production fell off. Isn't that the MO on him?
Oh, I see what you did there.
How many short little white receivers are we going to have?
Yeah, listen, I'm not taking away his chances of making the team. Who knows?
I am.
Just he hasn't done anything yet.
I'm going to say he doesn't make the team. He'll be on the practice
squad. I would guess that he won't make the team.
All right.
I have an early, by the way, headline for anybody looking for Bruins headlines. Rask and ye shall receive. If he has a shutout, big performance, you need him to step up.
All right,
Bruins
that's
hockey.
Going to be
right
it
then.
This edition of PFW in progress. Thanks
Suck
for
it.
Listening this week. Sorry about Hightower. We'll get him maybe next week. We'll see you next Tuesday. See you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.